Good morning, my brothers and sisters. It is Saturday. It's time to go to school. For all of you listening on Blog Talk, as usual, and my Run for Christ family, it is my privilege to be here to teach you today. With that being said, get your Bibles and your pens and your papers, and let's go to prayer. Father, right now this morning, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come and sit at your feet and to hear from you and to be taught by you. We're coming about the greatest person who has ever lived. We're coming to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn about him and understand and know that he is our King even right now, reigning and ruling on our behalf. We thank you, and we just expect to hear from you. In his name we pray. Amen. Again, I say good morning. I know I'm not out there by myself.
Good morning.
Morning, my brother. What a privilege it is, again, to be able to come together as God has told us to, because it's good to study the Bible by yourself, but it is best to study it in a group. So with that being said, we are continuing in. We believe not just knowing what, but why. And again, for some of you who may be wondering how come we're here, it's because I've come to realize in several years of teaching the scripture that a lot of people can answer questions and give details, information, what. But looking at the lives of a lot of believers and in discussing with people who read the Word of God, we don't see the impact of it. And so that means that there's not deep understanding. And even though the scripture tells us with all our getting to get understanding. So we don't need to just know some facts and details about the word. We need to know why, you know, why Jesus came. And if you can explain that, it'll not only impact your head, it'll impact your heart and your life. So we are dealing with and have been dealing with in the book of Mark, the good news, the euangelion, which is more extensive than we thought. So with that being said, we picked up on our paper. We left off at question number 9, the section we're talking about, the provocation of the king. And the last question we covered is that when Jesus went to the temple and cleared the temple, why did he do it? Question 8 for those on your sheets.
Good morning. Hey, we have a lot listening, but only one person has pressed 1 so they can get into the host queue. So if you want to get into the host queue, I need y'all to press 1. There we go.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Because I'm just talking and Janet's not saying nothing. I'm like, wait a minute.
Okay. I feel better now.
All right. So, ask the question about number 8. Why did Jesus clear the temple? What was the reason? We finished off last week with this question.
Because they was using it. Oh, go ahead.
No, I remember you, though, Deacon. Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was under the impression that it was because they had turned his house. I mean, they had started selling items out there instead of worshiping there. No? Okay,
somebody else?
Let me see.
He wanted to provoke the Pharisees to start his death. He wanted to set a chain reaction.
That's right.
He was provoking them.
He was provoking them. Because we know at this part now, this isn't the first time that Jesus has done this to clear the temple. He's done it more than once. And this second time he's done it with the express purpose of provoking them. If you look in Mark chapter 11, somebody read verse 18.
When the leading priests and teachers of religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him. But they were afraid of him because the people were so amazed at his teaching.
Right. So this is consistent. They were a lot of times, there were a few times they tried to kill Jesus or they plotted to kill Jesus. But this, Jesus was messing with the money because they profited greatly off of the sales of animals and the exchange rates and the temple courts. And they were also keeping the Gentiles out because they were doing this in the Gentile area where they could enter in. So Jesus was provoking them because, again, his purpose in coming is attached to our memory verse. Somebody read our memory verse, Mark chapter 10, verse 45.
For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Oh, that's 10:45.
That's it. So that's what Jesus was coming to do. He didn't just come and serve. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And it's time for the ransom to be paid.
Right.
So let's, in chapter 11, somebody read verses 27 to 33.
Again, they entered Jerusalem. As Jesus was walking through the temple area, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right to do them?" "I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question," Jesus replied. "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Answer me." They talked it over among themselves. "If we say it was from heaven, he will ask why we didn't believe John. But do we dare say it was merely human?" But they were afraid of what God would do. I'm sorry, they were afraid of what the people would do, because everyone believed that John was a prophet. So they finally replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things."
Amen.
All right.
Jesus was direct. Understanding the tradition of the Pharisees is important. When they came and when they heard about miracles being performed or somebody was preaching, they would send, the chief priests would send out the Pharisees or the local officials in that area to investigate the person to see if the person was either from the school of Shammai or Hillel, who were two great rabbis that they followed. So you either came from one of those two disciplines. So basically when they would ask, what authority? No, whose school are you from? So it's like if you're asking, are you from U of M or are you from Michigan State? You know, are you from Harvard or Yale? Who gives you the authority to do what you're doing? And so Jesus turns among them at this point because remember, he's provoking them. He's provoking them because it's time for him to get ready to go to the cross.
I never knew that.
Yeah, and not in the sense of like how we provoke somebody. But it's trying. It's the will of God, you know, because we provoke people because we want to fight. Jesus is getting them to go along. They're going along with the will of God, which is to put him to death, as we're going to continue to read in. All right. So what group is he confronting in this for the next, actually, couple questions? What group is he confronting?
The Pharisees and the Sadducees?
Yes.
Yeah.
The religious leadership of Israel. He is confronting them. All right. So now let's continue on because it doesn't stop here. Jesus gets into some more questions are coming for him. So let's go to chapter 12 and somebody read verses through 17.
It reads as follows. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me? He asked. Bring me a denarius and let me look at it. They brought the coin, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a question. What question did they ask Jesus?
Should we pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Is it right to pay?
Is it right to pay the taxes to Caesar? Remember, he's provoking them. So, and they're provoking back now because they know if he says don't pay Caesar, then he's a rebel.
Okay.
Because the bottom line is the Pharisees and the Sadducees could care less about the taxation of Caesar because they hated it just as much as everybody else did.
Okay.
So them asking this question shows that they're not about trying to see if Jesus is on our side or not. They're trying to, remember, they're seeking a reason to kill him. They're looking for a plot to kill him. And so asking him this question, if he says don't pay taxes to Caesar, then the Roman government has a right to execute him because he's a rebel. And they can do to him what they did to everything else. All right. What question did Jesus ask them back about the coin?
About whose face is on it?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, whose face is on the coin?
Caesar's.
So, well, what did Jesus answer them about the coin?
Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's.
All right. So they couldn't do anything with that answer, could they?
Right.
Because he did not. Go ahead.
Okay, well, now, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and give what to God what is God. So I know in this particular perspective, we're talking about the coin. Now, give God's what is God's. So that means that part there. Can you? Oh, I guess I need to ask.
You want me to expound on?
Yeah, please. When he said, or what is Caesar's or what's God's? And then I've always heard it, but I never heard the part about what's God's. What was the other part of that? Or if there was another part to it.
Okay. So in this context, you got to remember, who owns everything?
God.
Who's over government?
God.
God. They don't see it that way.
Who authorizes government?
The Lord.
The Lord. So if you're giving to Caesar taxes because Caesar has levied taxes, are you violating God in any way, shape, or form?
Nope.
So when Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God, if you're paying your taxes, you're honoring God.
Okay.
So again, no reason for the Roman government to come kill him because he gave the right answer.
He agreed.
The Pharisees, they don't want it. They would prefer not to pay taxes to Rome. They would love to figure out a way not to pay taxes to Rome. They're not concerned about the Roman tax system. They're concerned about this Jesus who is turning the people away from them. And they want to know why. So, again, speaking of provoking. All right, let's get another provoking question. Verses 18 through 7, 18 through 27, the next question they ask.
Then Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders who said there is no resurrection from the dead. They posed this question. Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies leaving a wife without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there were seven brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children, so the second brother married the widow, but he also died without children. Then the third brother married her. This continued to all seven of them, and still there were no children. Last of all, the woman also died. So tell us whose wife she will be in the resurrection, for all seven were married to her. Jesus replied, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In this respect, they will be like angels in heaven. But now as to whether the dead will be raised, haven't you ever read about this in the writings of Moses? In the story of the burning bush, have you ever read about the writings of Moses in the story of the burning bush? Okay. Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead. You have made a serious error. Amen. You have made a serious error.
Amen.
So what's the question that they're trying to, it's a trick question.
Who's going to be her husband when they make it to heaven?
Okay.
And at this point, he's saying nobody will.
So now, let's really get to what's going on here. The levirate marriage, under the law that was given by Moses, through Moses, if you are married and you have a brother, if your brother is married and you die, to build up your brother's house, if your brother doesn't have an heir, the book of Ruth really gives us a picture of this, what happens. To build up your brother's house, in other words, to maintain his portion of the inheritance, you would marry his widow and provide so that her firstborn son would become the heir to your brother. This is also, we got a good example of this. We read when we were going through Genesis in the story of Judah, where Judah had a son and he married Tamar and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord killed him. So Judah, she married the second brother, and he did the same thing. They treated her like a prostitute and didn't build up her house, build up their brother's house. So God killed the second brother. And then there was a younger brother that was supposed to marry her to build up his brother's house, and Judah withheld the girl, the boy from her. And then, remember, she ended up tricking Judah and ended up having twins. Anyway, this was levirate marriage. This was what was required for them to keep then, to keep your brother's line and his inheritance going forward. So they're coming to him and they're asking him this question about levirate marriage, but they're doing it in the way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees at this point, because these are the Sadducees that are coming, have the way they approach things. They take the law and what God said, they took it and they added their commentary to it. So that's why they're asking this question. So she marries, and there's seven brothers, and she marries all seven brothers. But instead of talking about building up the brother's house and inheritance, they ask the question, when they die, whose husband will she be? That wasn't the point of the levirate marriage. The levirate marriage was about building up your brother's house. It wasn't about what happens after you die. So this is another trick question.
Wow.
We're dealing with. They're asking another trick question to see if they can fool Jesus or trip Jesus up in his. And so what did Jesus respond? Right in May, he said, "Are you not in error because you do not know what?"
That's the scripture.
The law?
You don't know the scripture.
Okay.
He asked him either. Because the bottom line is, when the dead rise, nobody's going to be married anymore. For those of you out there that are married now, this is maybe good news for you. Nobody is going to know. There's no need. There's no need for marriage when we are with Christ in the kingdom, in the eternal kingdom. There'll be no need for marriage. There'll be no division of assets. There'll be no need to build up your brother's house for his inheritance. There'll be no need to reproduce. There'll be no need for that. And so Jesus comes at him and basically says, y'all don't know the scripture. You need to read your Bible. You need to read the law. And then he gets him with this second part when he talks about Moses and when God encountered Moses, saying that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me ask this question. And I just that quick, it went away from me.
The burning bush?
It's not about the burning bush. Oh, the Sadducees. What don't
Do they
the Sadducees believe in?
They don't believe in life after death.
They believe in resurrection.
Right.
They don't believe in the resurrection. So why are they asking him a question about life after death?
Oh, now I see what you say, the trick and party is now. Yeah, that really is one right there.
Yeah.
If you don't believe, why would you inquire about that? You wouldn't even care.
Why would you inquire about it?
Right.
Trying to trip him up. They're trying to look for reasons to accuse him so they can kill him. They're building a case against him. And so this has nothing to do with marriage after death. This is all about shenanigans. They are trying to kill, look for reasons to accuse Jesus so that they can bring him up on death charges. All right. So now, let's get the last question in. 28 through 34, chapter 12.
One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You're right in saying that God is one and there is no other God but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Right.
Why Jesus? Okay.
So, yep. So now we have another leader, another teacher, but this one comes in the midst of that previous discussion. And evidently his heart wasn't as committed to provoking Jesus. Maybe he's just asking him this general question. So he asked him what question?
Of all the commandments, which is the most important?
Which is the most important?
Which the most important commandment? And we know that Jesus answers, what's the most important commandment?
Thou shalt not put no other before God. Nothing before God.
He tells him. Right
the
there,
Lord our God, the Lord is one.
What's the rest of it?
You say he tells them in Deuteronomy.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.
So the most important commandment is to do what?
Love God.
Love the Lord your God.
To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second one, the next closest thing to that commandment is what?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. So we know that in another one of the gospel writings, we get a more detailed account of what that looks like. That's where we get the teaching about the Good Samaritan, because the question is asked, who is my neighbor? But here, Mark, remember, Mark has given us just little short, quick bursts, but here we have the most important commandment, because this would be important for a rabbi to be able to answer. This would be a test of a rabbi. If he's worth his salt, he should be able to answer this question. But what turned out being the questioning of Jesus actually turned out being the inquisition of the person who was asking the question. Because Jesus answered the man. He said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. In other words, you understand the scripture.
My friend said, you know what I'm talking about. But this is about.
You understand that the kingdom is not a place, but it is loving God, it is God ruling, it is God saturated, and that love of God overflows into humanity. And this is good for us, because I know when people go through like the Ten Commandments, you know, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other God before
me. No other God.
Now, that just simply means that you don't love anybody more than you love me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't bring anybody in my presence because I am God. There's no one besides me, no one else like me. So nobody gets my reverence. Nobody gets my place in your heart. So that's the most important commandment. These are the words of Jesus. So if Jesus says this is the most important commandment, it is the most important commandment. All right. So here we have this provocation, these three questions, and we have the questioning of Jesus, trying to provoke him to give the wrong answer and get sentenced to death. And then we also have Jesus provoking them to make sure that they continue on their purpose to make sure he gets put to death. All right, let's go on to the ongoing truth of the kingdom. Big passage here. Chapter 13. So whoever feels ready, I need you to read all of chapter 13. And we're going to get into what the kingdom will be like until Jesus returns.
Okay, Rebecca.
I co-sign that.
Okay, it reads as
ladies
follows.
First. Mm-hmm.
As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of the disciples said to him, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings? Replied Jesus. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled? Jesus said to them, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen. End is still to come. nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings and witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great glory, with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, my sister. All right. Got the right reader. Y'all picked the right one. Okay. So, this is where life gets fun. A lot of people, when we're reading the Bible, never forget this. The Bible was not written to us, but it's written for us. Because the initial people to receive, we were not the initial people to receive Mark's gospel. So Jesus is speaking to the people who are in front of him But from this, we can get some things or understand some things about the kingdom, God's rule and reign throughout all time over humanity, especially after the king comes, Jesus. So with that being said, what Jesus is describing is what the kingdom will be like until he returns, what the world will be like, basically. The first thing he tells them off the bat, and I'm going to walk you through this, and verse 2 is, what does he tell them in verse 2 about the temple?
That all the stones will be thrown down.
All right. So he tells them the temple is going to be destroyed. Because remember, they're standing there going, look how beautiful this is. Because remember, they're waiting for the Messiah. They're waiting for one like David who is going to come and restore Israel to the way that David had Israel. All their enemies were defeated. David got all the stuff together to build the temple. Religious worship was going on. Life was good under David. And this is who they're looking for, the Messiah, because the scripture told them the Messiah would be from David's line. So they're looking for the things that happened during David's time to happen during their time. But the first thing Jesus tells them is that temple's going to be destroyed. And okay, you history people, when was the temple destroyed? I know it's early.
Wait a minute. Not,
AD 70. Titus.
All right.
Whoever's saying AD 70, is it AD 70?
It's AD 70. Somebody is saying it. I thought I could hear somebody saying AD 70. AD 70, 78, 70 AD, AD 70, that's when the temple was destroyed. All right. So now we got that. So the first thing we have on our list is the kingdom, the temple is going to be destroyed. Now let's get a little deeper. Where is the temple of God now?
It's in the people.
Yes. Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? All right, so the physical temple was destroyed. All right, let's look at the next one, and this is in verse 6. What does he say is going to happen?
Many will come in my name claiming, I am he and will deceive many.
All right. So there will be deceivers who will come. There were deceivers at the time of Jesus. I think in Acts that when Gamaliel, you know, they talk about if these disciples of Jesus, if it's of God, we can't stop it. But look, there are other people who've been executed. There's a bunch of false messiahs running around. There were always false messiahs running around. There are false messiahs running around today. David Koresh said that he was Jesus down there at Branch Davidian in Texas. Jim Jones, there are false messiahs all over the place. So beware. There'll be deceivers. All right. In verse 8, we get another one of what the kingdom will look like until Jesus comes.
Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Earthquakes in various places and famines.
All right. So we got wars, nations fighting against nations, earthquakes, and famines. Have we seen that?
Absolutely.
Yes. It's happening even now. I mean, so we just saw a massive earthquake in Turkey, in Syria, a few weeks ago, too. We know that there's famines, there's food shortages everywhere in different places. And we definitely know even right now there is a massive war being fought between Ukraine and Russia, and there's always threats of war between other nations. So we see that that didn't just happen now. Rome was always executing some campaign. We actually see an earthquake when Jesus dies, and then, of course, famines. When you read through the letters of Paul, there are some churches that are struggling and needing help and assistance, groups of believers, and they have to help each other out. So these things happen. All right. Verse 9, we get another one.
You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues.
Right? And why would that happen?
On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses?
Yeah. So let's see. Going through the Acts of the Apostles, were they flogged?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Were they brought before governors?
Yes.
And kings? Yes. Imprisoned? Beheaded?
Left for dead.
Left for dead? Kicked, yeah, stoned and left outside the city for dead. And so Jesus is talking directly to those people sitting in front of him, right? Oh, these things are going to happen to you in your time. And even now, we still see this happening. There are nations, you go to China, there are people in prison for preaching the gospel. You go to Russia, there are people in prison for preaching the gospel, even though certain people claim to be very religious. So this is a condition. These are the things that will happen to the kingdom of God until Christ returns. All right. Verse 12, what else happens?
Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death.
So there's going to be family discord over who?
Over Jesus.
Over Jesus. There are people who were put out of their families because of Jesus. I mean, especially if you're dealing with Islam now today.
Exactly.
There is a lot. That is guaranteed, definitely. If they're not in the U.S., that could be a death sentence. I've read many stories of young women who have come to know Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, but they have to do it secretly. But if they are exposed by their brother will bring them to their father, and under Sharia law, they will be executed. You know, that's happened, and it's been happening. All right, so even in families. Verse 14, we get
14,
something
yes,
else.
The day is coming when you will see the sacrilegious object that causes desecration of standing where he should not be. Read or pay attention. Okay, then those in Judea must flee to the hills. Okay.
All right, so now they're going to be run out of the land, especially those who follow Jesus. We know that after the temple persecutions that come on them through Nero and Caligula and all of those crazy Roman empires, because the rise of Christianity and this community of people that's loving on each other and serving each other and helping each other becomes antithetical to the Roman Empire, to the Greek culture and whatnot. And so they end up getting persecuted for it. And they get run out of Jerusalem completely, especially once the temple is destroyed, you know, because Gentiles entered the temple and sacked it. They literally destroyed it. Like you said, not one brick. They literally took it apart brick by brick. So they were run out of the land. And we know when did they go back into the land, started as a nation. I won't get into the geopolitical part of that. But when did the Jews return? Start returning back to their land as a nation? Okay. Just to help you all, I don't want you Googling. 1948. All right. 1948.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's been recently. All right. Let's keep going. There's so much. Verse
22.
I'm going to use that
one. Verse 22.
For false Christ. Yes, I got 22. For false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible.
All right. So false Christ and false prophets. We talked about false Christ before, but false prophets, people who, there's a lot. What's the, my teachers should know this. What is the number one warning of the New Testament that most every New Testament writer, including Jesus, talks about?
There will be false prophets.
False prophets.
False teachers.
False teachers. Yep. And they were in Jesus' day, and they have not ceased. This is, again, why knowing the word, understanding the word is essential, because some people sound real good. I know this is going to sound political, but I was listening to the January 6th hearings, and there were a couple of people who were believers, but they were very passionate of saying that the Constitution of the United States, they believe, is a sacred document, a divine document that was God-inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And they passionately believe it. The one man got choked up and was starting to cry because he believes the Constitution is on par with the Word of God.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that's what's fueling this whole Christian nationalism, if you would, is the belief that God has called the United States of America to be this city on a hill, this shining moral example of who God is in the world. No, God has called the church to be that, not a nation, but many nations. So, but if you're taught this year after year over and over, you have to go and wonder, is that a false teaching? And we know, remember, Jesus is talking about what the kingdom, his rule, these are the things that will happen to his rule until he comes. So he's warning them, watch out for what?
False teachers.
So that's why when somebody comes up saying something that sounds, yes, the United States is a city on a hill. Wait, does the Bible say that? Did Jesus say that? We know that in 2010, 1 AD, we know that the United States didn't even exist. So, yeah. Anyway,
yeah, that's
okay.
That's
off
what's
my
amazing.
Political
you know,
tirade.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I ain't gonna say that.
Yeah. But you see
I'm sorry. I do like that Tony the end of the day.
Yeah. No, I just thought about the Constitution when it starts. It says we the people. Okay. What people? Okay. You wasn't there.
and some of us know the people that wrote it, when they said we the people, they were not talking about we the people.
No.
Right.
They were talking about a certain type of people. Anyway. Yeah.
Us the people.
Mm-hmm.
Not y'all. All right, let's not get in trouble. Okay. We're looking at the world through biblical eyes, the kingdom. And you see how this is when Jesus talks about a little leaven spoils the loaf. when a little mm-hmm. bit of that comes into what God is doing, this is what can happen to the kingdom.
Change the whole scenario. Tear it down.
It can change the whole scenario and get people eating bad food. All right. Now, the latter part of the verses, which he read, because he really gets into talking about what's happening and how to discern, you know, how to be discerning when you see these things happening, when you see, so I want to get to what should we do when we see these things happening. Somebody read verse 35.
You, too, must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return. In the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Amen?
All right. So Jesus is telling us the kingdom, all this stuff that you see, all of these things, when we see these things, what should we do? We're waiting on the master to return, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stay firm.
So while we're waiting on the master to return, we should be watchful because we know he's going to do what?
Coming back.
He's coming back.
Return.
Yeah.
Yep. And while we're watching for him to return, this is a parable he gives about servants where the master puts them in charge of something. So what should we, the servants, be doing while they're waiting for the master to return? Sitting on the front porch?
No, be ready for whatever.
We should be working.
Having our business.
Oh, working. Yeah. I was going to say rejoice.
We're going to rejoice, definitely. But because we should be working. We should be giving, busy doing the kingdom work. The good news, living like citizens. Yes. The king has come, and the king is definitely not in charge of what's all going on around this crazy mess right now. So we should be watching, we should be watchful, we should be working, and we should be patiently waiting for the king to return. All right. So now, these are the ongoing truths of the kingdom. This has been happening since Christ ascended, and it will happen until Christ returns. So what I'm trying to warn you, don't look at these things, and I know I've done it. I know a lot of us do it because of the way we've been taught about eschatology, about this is the end times. It's been the end times since Christ ascended. These are the patterns, and these are the things that we are to look for. When we see these things, yes, we rejoice because our redemption draws nigh, but we know now that over 2,000 years, we have still been watching these things play out. Some of them specifically, the temple destruction, the apostles being everybody but one got executed. They were hauled into court. We saw all that. But these things are continuing to happen. God's people are being betrayed. God's people are suffering wars, famines, earthquakes, all these conditions. They have been happening for over 2,000 years. But in the meantime, instead of us saying, okay, on January 1st, 2024, crisis. No, we are to watch, look at the signs, see what's going on around us and be aware. We are to work, be about our Father's business. That's a parable of talents. And then we're to wait expectantly because we know he's coming.
Amen.
We just don't know when. So don't let, as one man said, he was told that Christ was coming back in 1973. So he asked his pastor, he said, should I not go to college then? And his pastor said, if I were you, I would be prepared. You should go to college. Don't listen to folks that give you dates. Please don't. Don't. Because
that's
we read
it
in that passage. No one knows the day or the hour. No one. And if Jesus, when he himself was on earth, did not disclose, did not know the date, where do we get off thinking that he would tell us?
Okay.
All right. And that's where you get folks drinking Kool-Aid and arsenic and all kinds of stuff because they're waiting on the mothership to come in and pick them up. Anyway, I'm going to stop being bad. Okay. We're done for today. We're going to pick up next week.
The mothership.
That's a whole other conversation. There's a whole other conversation. That's another teaching. We'll get into that. Because there is a group that believes the mothership is coming for us. Yeah.
Oh. Well, thank you for another lovely class. I learned a lot.
Go ahead, sister.
Yes.
I was going to say, I never knew that he turned the money tables over in the temple twice or more than once. I never caught that. And
I didn't either.
That
shocked me.
Yeah. Many other things.
Yeah,
but thank
too.
You. Thank you, Sister Janice.
Yeah.
I'm here to, like you say, we're watching, being watchful, we're waiting, but we're working. And I praise God for the opportunity to do his work for the kingdom. Let us close out so we can get in the morning worship. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word and you telling us just to trust you. You are in control. You know exactly what's going on. And so we're not just saying it glibly, but we're looking at your word knowing you're in control. So right now as we go forward, let us trust you. Let us be watchful while we work and wait on Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mr. Pastor Janice, for another great lesson. Your faithfulness and studying and sharing God's word with us is an A+. And we just thank you. And we look forward to hearing more. Oh, you got that A.
Sister Clara, you don't have no gold stars?
Oh, it's all gold. When you're talking about God, it's all gold. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that answer.
He owns it all. So we are looking forward to next week's lesson, continuing on. We appreciate you, and just have a beautiful day. Thank you.
All right. All right.
Okay. So everyone that is listening and you that was participating, and you press one. So don't forget to depress your one if you're not participating in the next part of our service, okay? Thank you. Now, you know, you have to get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets. And after this selection, we are going to start our morning worship service.
All right.
of yours, can we lift that you can have all of me? You can have all of me. Sing, have all of me. Tell them I'm yours. I give you all of me. Give you all of me. Give you all of me. Now connect your heart with your mouth. You can have all of me. Have all of me. Have all. Say, I'm yours.
You can have all of me. I'm yours. A new day. A new day we have never seen before. And it's the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministry, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And we have this morning to help us to read our proclamation, scripture, and prayer is our very own brother, Deacon Eric Reed. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning, my sister, and good morning to all my brothers and sisters everywhere. Thank you for this opportunity. And we're going to get started so we can go on with our service. And this Why We Are Here proclamation. Pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, has sent the Holy Spirit to people to effect his rule and welcome again as the final judge to rule. That's our proclamation. Now we're I'm going to continue on. I'm going to read to you something, Righteousness Through Faith, which is in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. I'll give you a minute to get it, and then we're going to get started. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, though the law will become conscious of our sin. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left his sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those whose faith in those who have faith in Jesus. We do a small prayer, and as I say, to continue on with our service. And it, Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill our Holy Spirit with everyone who participates in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for the opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our psalms, prayers, and preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. So, dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Eric. You know, we appreciate you. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. I appreciate you all, and peace and love to everyone.
Amen. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen, amen. You know, my wife and I were talking just before she went off with her sister to do some ministry work, show some love to her brother. Amen. But we were talking about most folks never get to that place where their life really belongs to Jesus. What happens is we try to make Jesus belong to us. In other words, stop trying to save souls. Stop trying to teach saved souls, and let us help who we want to help, but not those who need help in or outside the body of Christ. In other words, we try to manipulate our relationship with Jesus Christ to be just about us and our life and our family and our friends or whatever we think he should do for us that will make life better. But when you go to work, you belong to them. You do what they tell you to do or they'll let you go. Thank God that he won't ever let us go because we won't do what he tells us to do. Jesus still stands and says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? You're not the one who digs down deep until you find the rock, which is my word, and build your life on that. You're the one who got saved and built your house on the sand, not my word. And all kinds of storms come, and you call out, and all kinds of winds blow, and you call out. But the Lord purchased us. As you heard Pastor Janice Tate talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, she's all in my sermon. Anyway, amen, praise the Lord. Amen. But you heard her talk about that we belong to him. Over there it says that we are the temple of God, and it goes on to say that you are not your own. You're bought at a price. And that's the precious blood of Jesus, which was shed on Calvary. That's what it costs to make you his. We belong to him. That's settled in heaven. But here's the thing. Here's the rub. When do we on earth realize that we belong to him and not the other way around, even though he belongs to us through our faith in his death, burial, and resurrection according to the scriptures? But when do we look at Jesus? When do we look in the mirror and realize that truth and say, I give myself away, Lord, so you can use me.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them. Here I am. Here I am.
Amen, amen. My life is not my own. I give myself away so you can use me, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. You always take us there for those beautiful blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following the selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Trust.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for bringing us up from the deepest part of sleep to being wide awake and conscious and aware of our surroundings. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to participate in this praise and worship service dedicated to you, Lord. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for all of our brothers and sisters all around the world. Right now, Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for restoration. We pray for comfort, Lord, for those who are listening, Lord, and for those who can't listen but just need your touch, your embrace. We thank you for your thoughtfulness. We thank you, Elder Brother Jesus, for going to the cross in our place. But before you went to the cross, you lived a life, a perfect example of how we should model ourselves after you. And then you went to the cross willingly out of love for us. Because you first loved us, you endured torture and pain, irritation. But you did that to pay for all of our sins. And then you rose from the grave with all might and all power. And we thank you for what you continue to do at the right hand of the Father on our behalf and allowing us to have right standing with God because of you. And we simply say thank you. And we thank you for the present that you blessed us with. In the comfort of the Holy Spirit, God's very presence with us on this earth. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you remind us about the Word and how you bring it to our remembrance. We thank you for being that small, still voice in our heads that tells us what to do and the right thing to do and what to say. Help us to adhere to what you tell us. And to execute without question. And to love one another, Lord. This world needs us to be the light and to shine as your children, Lord. Help us to do our part in doing so, Lord. There are so many people dying and on their way to hell because the church won't tell somebody about Jesus. It's really just for us to plant the seed. Help us all as your children, as soldiers of the cross, to execute our mission to tell someone about Jesus, to plant the seed, and to be honest in our testimonies, and to let folks know how we came through and got over. It was simply because of our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this awesome service. We thank you for each and everyone listening, Lord, that you will move in their lives. Continue to encourage and inspire us to be great because you blessed us with all the greatness, all the tools, all the talent that we need while before we were even born. But help us to put it into action, Lord, and to love one another and to prove our love for you in action as we expand your kingdom. We say thank you for today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving and praise. Amen.
We need you, Lord, let your glory.
Thank you, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day. All right. Excellent service. And so far, we're having a great time this morning with more to come. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. And everyone have a beautiful day. Okay? Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. Following the selection, the next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Let's prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate coming his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
to call your name.
Yes.
Without a blemish, oh Lord, to wrinkle a shame, to speak to my heart.
Wonderful and merciful God, what a privilege it is to preach your word to a sinful world, to a body that believes in you. What a privilege it is for me to be here another day to be able to preach your word. What a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to have people listening to me preach. Father, you said in your word that you will provide every one of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So right now, Father, I just ask that you move me completely out of the way and let it be all of you, and let me and write the word of you. Write the word. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. My Redeemer, my Savior, amen and amen. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. This is the most beautiful day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. You know, it's funny that Pastor played that song before I preach, because the word that the Lord gave me, he gave it to me early this morning, about 5 o'clock this morning. And we're going to be, you guys are going to be using your Bibles a little bit today. But the main scripture that he wants me to use comes from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And the title of my message is In the Form of a Question. And that question is, are you thankful that your faith in God is being tested? Are you thankful that your faith in God is being tested? You see, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You see, Paul and Silas were in a Philippian jail. But instead of them complaining while they were in the Philippian jail, they allowed their faith to be put to work, and they allowed the trial that they were facing to cause them to be thankful that they allowed the trials that they were facing cause them to be thankful that they were facing that trial, because they could have said, Lord, why do we have to be in a Philippian jail? Why do we have to be in a Philippian jail in these circumstances? They could have said that, but you know what they said? Instead of saying, Lord, why us, they began to sing praises to God at midnight. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13 says, I've learned how to be content in whatever situation I am faced with. I've learned how to abound in whatever situation I'm facing. Then it says in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means I can handle whatever test comes my way, no matter, that means That means because I'm in Christ, I can handle whatever test comes my way. Whether God allows the test to come, whether we create our own test, or whether the test comes by way of the devil. See, church, God doesn't respond to complaints. He only responds to praise and faith. God doesn't respond to complaints. He only responds to praise and faith. I want to tell you a story, and it's going to be a brief one. When I was born on October 9th, 1988, I weighed 2 pounds and 12 ounces. Now, after I was born, I had to stay in the hospital 43 days because I was born prematurely. Now, when I was born, the doctors had to put a IV in my head to keep me alive. Now, the doctors looked at my mother and father. They basically looked at my mother and told my mother, well, he probably won't live past 2 months old. And I thank God for the fact that even though I was little, and even though I didn't have an intimate relationship with God like I have now, I thank God for the fact that I had to go through that, because here I am today, almost 35 years later, preaching the word of God. Here I am today, almost 35 years later, going to a church that teaches the Bible, and I'm preaching the word of God. You know, there is something about having your faith tested. There are good things and there are bad things that you go through. But I want to tell you some of the good things about having your faith tested. Be thankful that your faith in God is being tested, because as your faith and God is being tested, you are growing in the knowledge of God that you didn't have before. As your faith in God is being tested, you have seen God at work in your life many times. See, God, like I said just a few minutes ago, God doesn't answer, God doesn't respond to complaints. He responds to praise and faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I did not see myself preaching the word of God 34 years. I did not see myself preaching the word of God almost 35 years ago. But you know who did? God did. God knew that I would be here today preaching the word of God 16 years later here on Blog Talk Radio. I did not know that. But you know what? But you know what? I knew my faith was being tested. I knew my faith in God was being tested. And you know what? I am so grateful and so thankful to God because my faith has been tested for almost 35 years. In the last, you know, from 2010, from December 23rd, 2010, all the way up till August 11th, 2015. I've lost, well, hell, God has taken 9 people home that were very inspirational in my life. But you know what? I'm not complaining about it. I was complaining about it, but I am so glad that he did, because those people that the Lord took to their heavenly home because of those people that God has taken home to heaven, I am so much more grateful to God. Because if it wasn't for those people who were in my life, who I lost due to a heavenly departure, I wouldn't have the relationship of God. I wouldn't have the intimate relationship in God that I do today. In John chapter 16, verse 33, it says this, in this life, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. In this life, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. I've had many trials and tribulations in my life. But you know what? I'm glad that I've had those trials in my own personal life, because those trials have made me more appreciative of God in the last 35 years of living. If I didn't go through the trials that I went through, if I didn't go through the trials that I went through in my own personal life, I wouldn't have the relationship that I have with God today. I am so grateful to God for what he has brought me through. And Saints, I'm not trying to make light of what everybody else is going through. I'm just trying to tell you, be thankful to God that your faith is being tested, because if your faith wasn't being tested on this earth, then you would not be the preacher that you are today. If your faith in God was not being tested here on this earth today, you would not be the teachers that you are today. If your faith in God wasn't being tested right here, right now, today, you would not be the person, you would not be who God called you to be today. So what am I trying to say to you? Never give up on God, because when you go through tests, when you go through trials in this life, God is only trying to get you to elevate your faith in him. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never I will never leave you nor forsake you. What he's saying is, I will always, you're not going to go through the trials alone. I will always be with you. Don't let go of me. What God is saying is, give me the thanks. Give me the praise. Give me the praise that your faith is being tested in me. Don't complain. Paul said it in Philippians 4:12-13. Paul said this: "For I've learned to be content in whatever situation that I'm in. I've learned how to abound." He said, "And I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." saints, if you are in Christ, you can handle whatever it is that you're dealing with. God is not, you're not going through the trials that, you're not facing the trials that you're facing by yourself. God is right there with you. God is waiting for you to give him thanks that your faith in him is being tested. And God is only trying to get you to understand that he is trying to get you to elevate your faith and your trust in him and in him alone. Isaiah 26:3 says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. Saints, whenever we want to complain about the trials that all of us are facing right now, let's remember that God wants us to keep our mind, and God wants us to keep our minds steadfast on him and on him alone, because he knows what we're going through. He knows what we're dealing with. There's nothing too hard for God. And remember, when we are dealing with the trials of this life, we're not dealing with the trials of this life alone. God is right there with us. He said it in Hebrews 13:5. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What he means is, I will always be on your side. I will always be holding your hand. Just give me thanks for the fact that your faith in me is being tested. It says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you through Christ Jesus. Romans 8:37 says, you are more than conquerors. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. Saints, God knows everything that every one of us is going through right now. He just wants us to be reminded to give him thanks for the fact that our faith in him is being tested. Proverbs 23:7 says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so does he become. Saints, instead of thinking negatively about what we're facing, instead of being negative about what you are dealing with right now, think about Paul and Silas and what they had to go through in that Philippian jail. Paul and Silas were in a Philippian jail where rats would come and lick their open wounds off of their body. Job lost all 10 of his kids. And he didn't want to live no more. But Job lost all 10 of his kids. And he didn't want to live no more. Lot's wife told him, why don't you curse God and die? But you know what? Lot didn't do that. God wants us to know that he knows what we're going through. He knows what we'll go through even before we know what we'll go through. He's always known that. He just wants the church to remember to be thankful to him that our faith in him is being tested, because Psalm 34:8 says this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. God, your deliverance from your trial, your deliverance from the trial that you are facing all depends on how appreciative you are to God for the trial that you are faced with right now or may be faced with in the future. Your deliverance all depends on your attitude about the trial that you are faced with right now or that you may be faced with later. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Saints, instead of complaining about your trial that you are faced with every day, give God praise. Give him praise and show him how appreciative you are for the trial. Show him how appreciative you are to him while you're facing the trial that you are faced with, because your faith will continue to be tested, but the outcome of your deliverance depends on the attitude that you have toward your faith being tested. If you say to God, God, I don't like this. Why do I have to go through this? Your deliverance from your trial will take a little bit longer. But if you say, Lord, I know I'm going through this, that, and the other right now, but I will give you the praise because you're the reason why I'm going through it, because you want me to know that my faith in you is being tested. So, saints, be thankful and grateful to God that your faith is being tested, because how are other believers going to know how good God has been in your life if you don't give God thanks for the fact that your faith is being tested? If you walk down the street and say, if somebody walks up to you and say, how are you doing? And you say, I'm going through. They're going to say, well, how are you handling what you're going through? See, our attitude has power, y'all. Our attitude has power. And it's not so much how we handle what we are faced with, but it's how we look at God when we're faced with the trials of this life. Because in John chapter 16, verse 33, it says this: in this life, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Jesus overcame the world so that he could live in you, and so that he could live in us, so that we wouldn't have to go through these trials in our lives alone. God has always said, and will continue to say, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he will continue to say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you are at work this week and you remember what you're going through, instead of complaining about it, give God thanks for the fact that your faith in him is being tested, because that's the only way your faith and trust in God will grow to the level that God wants your faith and your trust in him to be at. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to preach your word. Father, even though you gave me this word at 5 o'clock this morning, I was amazed at all the characters. I was amazed at the fact that you could fill me up with scriptures like that, Father, that talks about being thankful for the fact that our faith in you is being tested, Father. So this word that I preached to your people was all to glorify you. And it was none of me. It was all of you, Father. So you get the glory. You get the praise. You get the honor, because it's all yours anyway, Father. And I thank you for the amazing opportunity to preach a straight up hard word without sugar. Father, it's in your presence and holy name that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen, and praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Terrence, for that word today. 5 o'clock in the morning. That's only been a couple hours ago, but that message was put in you by the Holy Spirit, and you brought that out in such an awesome and wonderful way, scripture after scripture after scripture, to verify and validate that the word of God is true. And all of those scriptures that you gave to us today are not just scriptures that were written in a book that's historical. That is the living word of Christ, and that is a word that will never end. It will never change, and it applies to you and me and everyone listening to this Blog Talk service today. So thank you so much for being willing to receive the word of God. Amen. Download it into your heart and into your mind and into your spirit for you to bring that back out to us today. We are truly, truly grateful and blessed. Amen. So thank you for the word that you brought to us today. We appreciate it. Amen. So good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. It is the second Saturday in the month of March already. Time is just moving on, marching on, no pun intended. So just by way of a couple of announcements, please do not forget that we are finally back in person on Sundays. Amen. Last Sunday was our first Sunday, and it was really great to just see everybody, to just come together. And just be, you know, with one another and worship God and praise God as one. So tomorrow, we're just going to keep that going on, amen. So tomorrow, March the 12th, we will have our in-person worship service. Our Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. with Pastor Janice Tate as the Sunday school teacher. And our worship service will begin at 10 a.m. with Pastor O bringing us the preached word, amen. So come on out and visit and worship with us at our new location, which is River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. The address is 1460 West Coolidge in River Rouge. If you are still confused about how to get there, or you didn't come last Sunday and you're still not sure, Pastor O a couple weeks back did send out an email
with directions on how to get to the school coming from every direction that you could possibly come from. Amen. So just go backwards, check your email, check the directions. If by some chance you don't have it, it's okay. You got Siri, you got MapQuest, you got Google Maps, you got all types of ways that you can use to stick the address in there, and it will bring you right to us. Amen? Amen. So please also remember on Mondays at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, we will continue with our class on 2 Peter. Please read chapter 8 in the book of 2 Peter by Charlie Avila, which is speaking about the judgments of water and fire. Amen. So the questions are available for discussion online, and I do believe I saw those questions emailed to us as well. But if you can't find the email, if I can't find it, because I feel like I saw it, but if by some chance I'm tripping and I saw something else, you can always go on our church website, rfcm.org, and just click on the 2 Peter class, and the questions for the class, for the discussion for this week are posted there for you to be able to use for discussion. Amen? Do not forget, excuse me, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with his series Training Day. Also, do not forget, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading classes here on Blog Talk Radio, going this week into Ezekiel chapters 36 to 40, which will be taught by Sister Keila Freeman. So the questions are available online at rfcm.org, which is our church website. Just click on the Bible classes tab, and you will find the questions there. Or if you're on pastor's email list, of course, they have been emailed out to us as well. So either way, you have access to the questions to participate in the class. Amen. Every Friday at 7 p.m., beginners Kathy Clyburn is here on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family, so make sure to tune in for that. Also, every Saturday at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries holds a women's Bible class, which is taught by the president of Bondage Breaker Ministries and our awesome Sunday school teacher and pastor at Love for Christ Ministries, Pastor Janice Tate. So if you want to participate in her women's Bible class, which is on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and under Christian Resources, click on the Bondage Breaker Ministries link, and it will take you right to the information that you need to be able to participate in her class. Amen? Just as a reminder that we have all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio recorded, archived, and free, going all the way back to 2009 when it was just Pastor O, his nerves, his butterflies, and whatever it was that he might have been talking about. He started off, I think he said, the first show that he did was like 15 or 20 minutes, and he was nervous about it. He was very scared. But time has gone on, and now here we are where it's not just Pastor O, but it's all of us, so many of us that have come alongside him. And God knew exactly what he was doing when Pastor John McFall, amen, bless his heart, he's in heaven now, planted that seed in Pastor O, and they were going to be talking about, I think, child support or friend of the court cases or something like that. And it just kind of started off. God knew that we were going to be this far out into this. But at the time, Pastor O and his nerves and his butterflies were not sure, and he was scared to come on Blog Talk Radio. And Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, he tells the story all the time, told him, "You on the radio. Nobody can see you. You at home in your pajamas if you want to be." Amen. So Pastor O finally got up the nerve to come on Blog Talk Radio, and however long that particular segment was, we have graduated truly to this point here. And so we are very thankful for the Blog Talk Radio platform, because Run for Christ Ministries, any hiccups and bumps and COVID and all of those things that have happened along the way, we have never missed a beat because of the Blog Talk Radio platform. Amen. So everything that we do here is recorded, archived, and best of all, is free. So use those classes, use those services, use those resources to help you build your Christian life. Amen? Amen. Don't forget, again, to check out our church website, rfcm.org. Just share it with others. You know, if you're a member of Running for Christ Ministries, you know what's on the website. You may not need any information or any resources or anything like that, but so many other people do. So just plant the seed. Put the link, rfcm.org, on social media. I say it all the time. People click on links and the text messages and email. All types of fraudulent stuff. Well, our website is not fraudulent. Our website is the real deal. Okay, so just put rfcm.org out there and let people click on it and get whatever they need to get from it. But if you are sharing it with a specific person or with a specific group of people, there's, like I said, classes out there, services, there's jobs like crazy, there's books that have been written, resources, and so much more that's available to everyone for free on our church website. So, again, if you don't need it, just share it with others, and you never know how you might be blessing somebody else. Amen? If you would like to pay your tithes, give any offerings, again, rfcm.org. Just click on tithes and offerings, and you'll be able to do what you need to do there. If you would like to give a love offering to Pastor Terrence Kate, who brought the word today, just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and just click on the tithes and offerings tab, and you will be able to give your love offering there. Just make sure to notate that this love offering is for Pastor Terrence Tate, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with him. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And so we know that eternal life in heaven, okay, hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no relationship with the Father without the Son, and there is no receipt of the Holy Spirit, our counselor, our guide, our friend in this life, without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And so Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which is your immediate household today, the people under your roof, Judea, the people in your immediate community, the grocery stores you go to, wherever you go in your immediate city, Samaria, outside your comfort zones, the people and places you wouldn't normally associate with or go to, but you went over there because they had a sale or something special over there. You needed to go there, and to the ends of the earth. And these are people and places you like, nope, not today, not tomorrow, in this life or the next. Am I fooling with them? Okay. But they need the word of God as well. Amen. And it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. That's the whole goal. That's the whole thing in this life, is to get souls saved, because this earth and this world and everything that's going on and everything that we see is slowly but surely passing away. At the end of it all, you got eternal life in heaven or eternal life in hell. And the only thing that's going to depend on that is whether or not you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. So Matthew 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not people. But we know that unfortunately some will end up there in eternal torment. Those will be the people who did not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And this life that we're living here today on this earth is short. It's like, you know, we feel like somebody lived 70, 80, 90, 100 years, and they've been here a long time. But to God, that's no time, okay? That's nothing to God. It's nothing. God is not bound by time, but we are, okay? So Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, to teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So we have a reason for being here. We have things to do while we are here. Amen. So John chapter 14, verse 3 says, I am going away to prepare a place for you. We know that I is Jesus. And I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. Amen. So that's how we know right there that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels and not people, because Jesus said he's going away and he's going to prepare a place for us. And when he comes back, he's going to take us to be with him where he is. But you only go on with him if you belong to him. Amen. So just make your election sure. Choose this day whom you will serve. Amen. Amen. So do not forget to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Continue to pray for the construction/reconstruction of our church building. Also, do not forget to pray for Nico Gaston, Nicole Seabrook, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, Doris Gaither, all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries. We love them so much, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Please continue to pray for Keila Freeman as well as Ed Johnson. Also, don't forget to continue to pray for Sheila's brother, Dwayne, and also continue to pray for all of the caregivers out there in the world. You know, you may have a loved one who may be in the hospital, and the primary care of that person is happening by hospital staff and things like that. But that's their job. But it doesn't change the fact that providing care for people in any capacity is taxing. It's hard. It's hard on your mind. It's hard on your body. You know, it makes you weary. It can be hard on your spirit. So just continue to pray for all of those who have to provide care for others, whether it's because a person is mentally incapable, physically incapable, temporarily sick, temporarily down, whatever the case may be. Anytime you're stepping in to help someone else, it's hard to do. And so because you have to maintain yourself and you got to maintain others. So just make sure to pray for all of those who have to provide care for others in whatever capacity that may be. Amen. Continue to pray for all of our children and all of our young adults, as well as all who are struggling. You know, times are really, really hard for a lot of people. And it seems like, you know, COVID kind of wiped out a lot of things for people. And people are just still trying to get back on their feet. And not just so much for because of COVID, but just life. Okay, so just continue to pray for all those who are having a hard time, again, in whatever capacity. You don't have to know, but God knows everything. Just do your part and pray. Amen. And I also want to say, just continue to please pray for all those who are bereaved and mourning and grieving. The number of families and people, only God knows. Amen. Grief and mourning and bereavement are happening all the time, all over the world, all over the place. So just continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Amen. Happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners who celebrated this past week, or who are celebrating today, or maybe who celebrated because it is only like March 11th. So the first 11 days of the month. Y'all know how we do it for our Run for Christ Ministry members. So Pastor Jonathan Tate kicked us off this month with his birthday on the 1st. Alana and Amir both celebrated their birthdays on the 7th. Daylynn celebrated her birthday on the 8th. James McClendon, amen, that's Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon's husband, celebrated his birthday on yesterday. And we got one more birthday, Deaconess June Rogers, my June, amen. She will be celebrating her birthday on March the 22nd. So happy birthday to all of you, amen. God bless you. Just real quick, before I read your devotional, I do want to remind everybody to please move your clock forward an hour. Okay, we're springing forward. Today, tomorrow, I think it usually happens at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So move your clocks an hour ahead. Last year when we fell back, I didn't even change under my house clocks. I'm like, because we're going to be springing forward soon enough. So now tomorrow I won't have to touch any clock except my microwave and my stove. Everything else is still an hour back. Amen. So just don't forget to go around your house and update all of your clocks on your stove, your alarms, your bathroom clocks, whatever clocks you got that are not digital, that won't do it themselves, just so that you're not late for church. Amen? Amen. Don't forget to spring forward. Amen? And last but not least is your devotional. And it's entitled, Abandonment Issues? That's a question. So do you have abandonment issues? Okay? And this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Now, I'm going to say this. Oh, sorry. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Listening to Pastor Terrence say today, I'm like, Jesus, he all up in my devotional today. I don't know what the problem is, but the Holy Spirit is always on his job. Amen. So it reads as follows. Excuse me. When I was a kid growing up, my mom and dad separated for a space of 2 years. It was terribly hard on my mom, and it was hard on us kids. Since I was only 10, I didn't understand all the issues in play. All I really knew is that my mom was crying a lot and my dad was moving out. My mom felt abandoned, and so did we. Have you ever experienced that terrible feeling of abandonment? Many who have gone through the horrors of divorce surely have. The fear of abandonment is a genuine enemy that tries to embed itself in your mind and in your heart, stealing away your sense of peace and safety. When you have abandonment issues, you tend to feel like you must perform or else the rug might get pulled out from underneath you. Perhaps you have struggled with the fear of abandonment. The devil tries to make us believe that lie, that if we fall and fail and falter in our walk with Jesus, he will leave us just like he left Samson. You want to get more on that story, just see Judges chapter 16, verse 20. The devil always moves in for the kill when we blow it big time. In our major failures, Satan will whisper, look how you sinned. Do you think God is going to have anything to do with you after this? Of course not. God is holy, and there is no way holy God can even stand in the sight of sinful you anymore. There is no point in going to church or reading your Bible or praying. God is finished with you. You are on your own, pal. You might as well start singing Alone Again naturally. Have you ever heard those hellish words or something similar come your way? I certainly have. And although they feel like the truth, they aren't even close to the truth. I will never leave you. God makes it clear in his word that he will never leave those who know and love him. When you and I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, he comes to us through his spirit to live in us forever. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Furthermore, the Lord speaks specifically to the fear of abandonment in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. The Greek construction of that verse has five negatives in it. Although not good English, the repetitive negative makes for a great theology. The Lord literally promises to never, 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 never leave us, or Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 in the Amplified Bible puts it this way, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Okay? So this is for you. Perhaps you have been feeling forsaken and abandoned. Perhaps you have believed the lie of the devil because it matched up so well with your feelings. Remember, truth is not what you feel. Truth is what God says. If you have blown it recently in your Christian life, confess it to God and repent of that sin. Bring your sin out of the shadows and let the blood of Jesus wash it white as snow. Claim the truth of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Although you and I fail and fall and falter, God never stops working on us. Paul said, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Praise God for his presence and his grace. Praise him for his matchless promises to never leave you and never stop working on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What a savior. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Uh-oh. I'm going to speak in tongues.
Oh, Jesus, please, no.
Okay.
No.
That wasn't even tongues. That was... You ain't supposed to understand it, is you? I did it. So
right,
I did
where
it backwards. See, when I don't need no translator. Time off, okay? Be strong and courageous. City Hall of E-Course, say, okay? Shanita Martin.
Amen.
She's a realtor. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm speaking in tongues. This is backwards, though. It's the,
Lord, help.
Yeah. I'm reading business cards off my desk.
Oh my God. Help us, Lord.
Okay, Jesus. Okay,
Lord,
Jesus.
Have mercy.
Hey, cut it
Amen.
Out, Chris. We're having fun, and
yes.
Church is a serious place.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
We can have that.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Spread the blood. Spread the blood.
Oh.
See what you make me do? I know baby Holy Ghost listening. She's like, wait till I get home. Wait till
what
I get
happening?
Home.
Yo, you going to get fucked at. Not me. I don't live with her. She going to get you.
I know. See, she's always nice to you. My tin tail. I just love
that's
my tin tail.
Yes.
When I get fucked
that's right.
At.
That's right.
Ooh, thank you, Ooh. Crystal.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Have a blessed day. Tell Mary I say what's
Amen.
Up.
I sure will. Amen.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in, and we thank God for all of those who took part. Can't thank God enough for our assistant pastor, Janice Tate, and the awesome work she's doing in the Saturday Church School. And for all of those who tune in and chime in and, you know, converse back and forth, that's some awesome stuff right there. You don't know how many people are being blessed by what you say. And we thank God for you. Thank God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, who, amen, presiding person who gets this all together, amen, and puts all these people on. Of course, Deacon Eric Reed for the scripture and prayer and the proclamation. And, of course, Pastor Jonathan Tate, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate for the altar call. And, of course, Pastor Terrence Tate for that awesome word of God. Amen. If you knew, you know, he was going through something when he was being born, but he's been going through something through his whole life. If you want to see a real Philippian jail-type Christian who sing praises to God at midnight, his whole life midnight. Amen. But he sing praises to God all the time. He always got a word for the Lord. I ain't saying he's perfect, okay? But he going to greet you in the name of the Lord. He going to kick his stuff to the curb. Amen. Because most of us, we get mad if our toe don't act right. His whole body don't act right, okay? But what he does have, he uses it to glorify God. And God gets the glory. And when you see him, you'll be like, oh, that's Pastor Terrence Tate? Oh, wow, I just suddenly don't have any problems. Amen. Praise God. So we thank God for him and his willingness to preach the word of God. Been around here since 09. He's been the first preacher I put on, amen, to help me out. And he's been around here since 09. Y'all know if you're kind of running for Christ ministry, you stand around me long enough, you're finna get a job. Amen. Praise the Lord. The more y'all do, the less I do. Praise God. That's the way that's supposed to work. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going away to the Father, right? So y'all going to have to do what I'm doing. Praise. That's where I learned that from. Delegate. You ain't the only blessed person in the body of Christ. Everybody in the body of Christ is blessed. So we thank God for you. You've heard the announcements. We trust that you'll govern yourselves thereby. Remember all of those we've been asked to pray for, and don't forget them. Amen. And this week, give yourself away to the Lord. And remember, no matter what happens, sit in that Philippian jail and sing praises to God at midnight. Now, what happened when they did that is everybody around them got saved. Jesus got lifted up so high that he drew everybody in that jail, and the jailer himself and his family drew them all to himself through their praise. So don't get mad. Praise. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And if you want to know who taught me how to read like that, Pastor Joseph B. Barlow, Jr. I once read the scripture with lackluster, and as soon as the service was over and we went into the office, okay, I don't read like that no more. I read with passion. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Have yourself a wonderful day. A big shout out to Ray and June Rogers doing that good ministry work. God bless you. Be safe, and we'll be praying for you till you get back. Bye.